whole message or just a summary of it?
The whole.
The whole? Amen. I love this kind of church. All right, I tricked you guys. I have 1 hour message. So you want me to preach all of it? Praise the Lord. We have talked in the last couple of messages about the church. We talked about the formation of the church. We talked about the church as the body of Christ, the church as the bride of Christ. In other words, we talked about the universal church. That is to say, all believers everywhere, in all denominations. But believers belong to local assemblies. At least, this is how it's supposed to be. I know some believers don't belong to any local assembly. And I know it is unhealthy, it is unbiblical. Every believer should belong to a local assembly. Every believer should be an active in the assembly, in the gifts that God has bestowed upon him. This local assembly is what I want to talk about this morning. In the scripture, we read of many local assemblies. We read of Corinth, for example, for about Rome, Ephesus, and many others. Paul, in his letters to Timothy and Titus, talked much about local assemblies, talked about elders, about deacons, things that pertain to local assemblies. You don't see elders and deacons in the universal church. Of course, in the man-made system, you find all the titles you need in the world. But in the local assemblies, we see these two things, the elders and the deacons. I would like to talk this morning again about this assembly, the local assembly. And I just want to talk about one assembly in the scripture, the assembly that received most of the truth about the church. That is the assembly or the church of Ephesus. They received the message that the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the house of God. And those who receive much is required from them much. So I expect a lot from this assembly. I want us to turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. And Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read of this assembly of Ephesus. I want to begin reading from verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, I love it here. I really love it. I love the title John uses for himself. Can you see it there? John. John. There's no titles. Not the Apostle John, not the Archbishop John, just John, simply John. Now, when Paul talks about himself, you notice always says Apostle Paul. Paul the Apostle. Why? Because many people doubted his ministry, his apostleship. So he defended his apostleship and he always said Paul the Apostle. John, no one really doubted his apostleship. And here he speaks just as John. Many people today love titles, don't they? Love titles. I want to be called so-and-so, reverend so-and-so, right? And by the way, talking about reverend, this term in the Bible used only for God. Psalm 111:9. His name is holy and reverend. The Hebrew word is nora. It means fearful, dreadful, terrible. Is what it means. And I think the word terrible maybe would fit many preachers more than the word reverend. So, but the word reverend is really a title of God. And I tell you, there is no rabbi would dare call himself reverend. But yet, sadly to say, this word is used in the Christian circle today. It started being used, according to my research, in 1445. And then we have it today. But John uses just the simple word John. Now look at verse 9. John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Where he was, we read later, he was in the island of Patmos. He was banished for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes. Look now in verse, I want to go fast. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was Sunday. Remember, it's not the day of the Lord, but the Lord's day, referring to the first day of the week. He was there on Sunday. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. A loud voice as of a trumpet. Who was this? Who was speaking? Is this really Jesus? Is this really Jesus? Jesus. John spent a lot of time with the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, didn't he? He heard him speaking. He seen him working the miracles. He laid his head upon his chest on that night of agony. He knew Jesus. He was a quiet man. He was meek and humble. But now Jesus speaking. And when he speaks, his voice is like what? Like a trumpet. When the man of glory speaks, the heaven and earth shakes. They shake. Jesus now is speaking. And he's saying something. He's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And the word Asia, by the way, means mire, means dirt, literally means filth. Now, these seven churches are in Asia. They are where dirt is and filth is. I mean, like us today, we are where filth is. What is in the world? It's filth and dirt. This is where we are. But what we're supposed to do? What we're supposed to be? Now, Jesus is sending this message to these seven churches. And remember, seven churches. There were many more churches in Asia. But Jesus is speaking to seven churches. Why seven? Now, we know the number of seven is the number of completeness. Jesus is talking not just to these literal seven churches, but he's talking to every church everywhere. He's talking to us this morning. He's talking to every church in history. These seven churches represent every church, but also these seven churches represent a period in history. Beginning of the church in Ephesians, they represent the first period until the end of the first century, and in the end, the church of Laodicea represent our church today. But again, every church of these churches represent the church today, speaking to us today. Jesus is speaking to us. And he's naming the churches to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. He's speaking. He is speaking to the seven churches. Then I turned. And really, before I talked about this church, before I talk about the church of Ephesus, I want to look at who is talking and how he is talking. It's very important to understand what he says. I want you to look at him who speaks and how he speaks. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, seven menorahs, seven lampstands. Now that reminds you of Exodus chapter 25. There, as you enter in the tabernacle, you know what you see first? You see the light. The first thing you see when you enter the tabernacle, you see the light that coming out from that lampstand that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. This light penetrates every corner of the tabernacle. And Jesus here, as the high priest, we see him there. We see him there among the seven churches walking. And the Bible describes these churches as lampstands. This is how they're supposed to be. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, you are the light of the world. He is the lampstand. But we are supposed to be also as lampstands. He is looking at these seven churches and he's telling them, you're supposed to be lampstands in this mire and dirt and filth in this world. This is what they're supposed to be. But were they lampstands? That's the question. Were they lampstands? Lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. That was Jesus. clothed with a garment down to the feet. Garment speaks of his righteousness. Girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white like wool. Holiness, as white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. His eyes are searching. His eyes are gazing. His eyes are penetrating. His eye sees everything. There is nothing hidden from him. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks from above. He sees everything. He sees our assembly this morning. He sees everything. His eyes penetrates. And he wants to say something. He has something to say. He has a report card for every church. And in a moment, we're going to open the first report card and see what he says about this church of Ephesus. But before we open this report card, let us continue. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass. Judgment. Don't forget. He is the man in glory. He's a judge. We think of him at this time of year as a baby laid in a manger. This is what people want to think of him. But don't forget. He is the man in glory today. He has risen. He is glorified today. He is the man of glory today. He is the judge when he speaks. He is the judge when he acts. His eyes like a flaming fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice was, or as the sound of many waters, authority. Authority. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Wow. Brother Bill talked about the sun this morning. His face like the sun shining in its strength. Have you ever tried to look at the sun in midday? Driving in the morning to work? It's blinding. It's blinding. People come to me to buy glasses. And I sell them $600 pair of sunglasses to protect them from the sun. But can they look at the sun with this best sunglasses in the world? They can't. They can't. This is Jesus. Like the sun shining in its strength. And listen, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's different Jesus than Jesus, John and you, when he was on earth. The man in glory. When Paul saw him, on the way to Damascus, he fell on the ground. He was blinded by that light. Of course, I heard Benny Hinn speaking, and he said that he saw Jesus, and he looked him in the eye, and they chatted together. Of course. He fell at his feet. His face shining like the sun. He fell, the man in glory. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." That is Jesus. And then he told John to write down. He told John to write down, "I have something to say to each church. I have something to say to each church. I have the report cards already. Let me open them." Are we ready to open the first report card? Are we ready to see what he says about the Ephesians church? My daughter comes with her report card, and I'm excited to see what it says there. I'm very excited. And let us be excited as we open the first report card about this church of Ephesus. Chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Jesus Christ is directing his words to the spiritual leaders, the leading elder of the church of Ephesus. These things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. Again, Jesus is walking among the churches. His eyes are searching. He is seeing everything. Nothing is hidden from him. And now because he sees everything, he doesn't just see on the outside like us. No, he sees in the inside. He sees the heart. His eyes penetrates everything. He can say something about it. We can't, but he can because he sees everything. He tells this church, the first thing, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. The first thing Jesus do is what? He commends the church. He encourages the church. I have seen your work. Man, you have worked hard. I've seen that. I see that. He commends. He encourages. This is the first thing he does. And I believe every servant of Christ should do as his master. First, what? To encourage. Now, many people I know are so much involved in negative things, in positive things. They don't see anything but the negative. They come to church with a very big Bible, with a notebook, and you think these are so, I mean, they are really spiritual. And you find them writing notes, and at the end of the message, they come to see you, Daniel, you made this mistake and this mistake. This is wrong. Yeah. You did not get it right. Right? Or the preacher is, he smiles too much. He's so serious. He's so short. He's too tall. He's so loud. He's so quiet. Man, your grammar is so bad. You should go back to school. You should just go and preach in the Arabic churches. Don't preach in English. Negative, 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 negative. Oh, this brother, so and so, this sister, man, the unbelievers are better than her. What's going on? Negative, 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 negative. Jesus does not do that. What does Jesus do first? He commends. He encourages. He sees the positive and he sees the negative. He sees everything. But first, what does he do? He commends. I have seen your work. You have done right. You've been good worker, but not just work. He tells them, your labor. Now, this is a little bit even stronger word, I believe, than work. We talk about women and labor, right? That involves being tired, there's some pain involved there, right? Like waking up in the morning, right, and coming to church. That's labor, right? That for some people, it is labor. Well, this is not what I'm talking about. This is labor for some people. They have labored for the Lord. Long time ago, we used to talk about laboring brothers. Those who work for the Lord full time, go from one place to another. They labor for the Lord. Sweating, really, for the Lord. But not just that. He has seen their patience. Your patience. Love is patient. They were persecuted. They were suffering, but they were patient. And Jesus saw that and he commends them for that. I have seen your work. I have seen your labor. I have seen your patience. I cannot forget about it. I have seen it and I commends it. But not just that. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. I've seen that. You cannot tolerate sin among you. You cannot tolerate wicked people among you. You cannot tolerate wrong doctrine be taught among you. You cannot tolerate that. I have seen that. I commend that. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have tested every teaching. You have tested everyone. You have tested every doctrine. You have done the right things. You have compared scripture with scriptures. You have heard them speaking and you compared it with the teaching of the apostles. They found it. You found it to be wrong. You have rejected that. You are pure in doctrine. I commend you for that. I commend you for that. Your work is great. Your labor is great. Your patience is great. You cannot bear those who are evil. It's great. You have tested the false prophets. This is all great. And verse 3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. How wonderful it is. He commends them also for that. They persevered. So what is the report card? How would you grade this church? Work? I'll give them an A for their work. Labor? Let's be generous. Give them another A. Patience? Another A. Purity of doctrine? One more A. Judgment of evil? Another A. Perseverance? A. Beautiful report card. But this is not the end. Let us turn the other side of the report card. Let's see what is there. This is not all. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The church is doing all the right things, but they have a heart problem. They have a heart problem. Decay starts from the inside. What is the attitude of your heart? You have left your first love. What is the first love? What is the first love? Do you remember your first love? Do you remember your first love? Maybe you got married to your first love. Maybe you're still living with your last, with your first love, and you are still crazy about your first love. Or maybe you are crazy because of your first love, I don't know. But I hope you are still crazy about your first love. Do you remember your first love? Jesus is everything. Jesus is first. Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason for everything. He's the motive for my good work. He's the motive for... He is everything. That is the first love. Remember the first love? Remember when you would never skip a meeting? Remember when you have that much desire to read the scripture and pray every day to go and tell the sinners about Christ? Remember those days? The days of first love? What happened? Now, you know the Bible very well. Oh, your prayers are very complicated. People can't understand it, full of doctrine. But what is lacking? What is lacking? All these things are good, and Jesus look at you and he will commend you on that. There's a lot of progress in your life. Wonderful. Knowing of scripture, wonderful. Doctrine, beautiful. Labor, beautiful. Work, beautiful. Perseverance, beautiful. But what is the state of your heart? Why are you doing all of that? What is the state of your heart? How is your relationship with him? How is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is your tears? Where is your passion for Christ? Where is your zeal for the Lord? Where is all of that? Are we focusing now more on our gifts and ministries and work? Very easy, even for me, to focus on the ministry rather on Christ. To focus on the gift rather than Christ. But let us put everything aside, even the gift and the ministry, and let Christ be first. He wants to be first. What is our relationship with Christ? He wants us to come back to our first love. Now, coming to church become tiresome for many of us. Prayer becomes boring. Same thing with the reading of scripture. There's something wrong in our relationship with Christ. Don't you think so? When coming to church becomes tiresome, when spending time with Jesus becomes boring, don't you think there is some problem with the heart? Do you think we have a heart problem? I think we do. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees that. He sees all the good works and he commends them. But he does not stop there. No. Now he talks about what is lacking. He talks about what is essential. The most important thing. You have a heart problem. And let us talk about it. How is your relationship with me? How is your relationship with me? Jesus is asking each one of us this morning. Nevertheless, I have this thing against you, that you have left your first love. And he does not stop there. He tells them, remember. And I want you to underline this word. Remember. Therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work. Remember! He just wants us to remember. He wishes to remember. Remember the beautiful days. Remember. Remember the tears that you shed for Christ. Remember the zeal you had. Remember the great desire to see the perish ones get saved. Remember. Remember all of that. But also remember how you started to sink down. How to start to slide down. How the world attracted you, and you heeded to its lust, and you went after it. Remember, remember. He wants us to remember and do something about it. Look what he says later. Remember and then repent and do the first word. There is repentance. Does a believer need to repent? Of course. It's not just for sinners, it's for believers. Repent! Turn away! I need you to go back to the first step, to your first love. Come back! Repent! Or else. Now we don't like that, right? Or else. Now we tell our children, or else! And the Lord Jesus Christ does not hesitate to say, or else. Do we take this matter seriously? If Jesus is saying, repent, or else. There's no escape. He's the judge. He's the one that is speaking. Or else. And this message to each one of us, it's not to the Ephesian church now, my friend. Where is the Ephesian church today? Where is it? It's in ruin. If you go to Turkey today, which is Asia Minor, where this church was, it's in ruin. There is no church! Or else. It happened. Did not listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened. What did Jesus do to her? It says here, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You want to continue to be light in this world as an individual? We want to continue to be light, a lampstand in the world as a church. How many big churches in the past history were big in numbers? Where are they today? Where is their lampstand? It was removed. Why? Did not heed the word of the Lord. Did not repent. Did not seek the first love. And Jesus is talking to us this morning. He's talking to his church. He's talking to his bride. He's talking to his body. The same life that is in him is in you. He's telling you, I love you. He's telling us, I love you. I give my life for you. Will you give your life for me? Do you want me to be your head? Do you want me to be your leader? Do you want me to be first in your life? I want to examine my heart this morning. Not my ministry. Not my work for the Lord. Not my position in the church. That's all. It may be important, but it's not as important as the most important thing. What is my relationship with Christ? What is the state of my heart? Do I lost it? Have I lost it? Let's pray. Let's confess our sins. I believe this message is for us. The Word of God sometimes encourages us, sometimes convicts us, sometimes warns us. Not always nice to hear a message. I know some churches like only to preach a very smoothing messages. But the Word of God not always smooth and nice. Sometimes hard, tough. To be a follower of Christ is not an easy thing. It's tough sometimes. It's to forsake the world, to put things behind. To follow Christ means Jesus to be first, nothing else. What is the state of my heart today? What's the state of your heart? Honestly, sincerely, bow your head. Bow your hands. Ask Jesus to search you with His eyes like flaming fires. To see in the inside, He sees everything and He knows you want to repent. It's not too late. You cannot do it on your own, but He can do it through the power of His Holy Spirit. Yes, you need to surrender to Him this morning. Tell Him, Lord, I come to You. I confess that I have forsaken my first love. But I desire to come back, Lord. I desire to come back to You, Lord. The joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Lord, Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that He spoke to the churches and He still speaks to us as the man in glory. And when the man of glory speaks, we want to listen. Heavenly Father, give us ears to listen, hearts to receive, and do Your will. Lord, we repent to You. We come back to You as individuals and as a church, Lord, confessing that there is a heart problem with us, Lord. Heart problem. Lord, we come to You. We come to You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.